What is up? Welcome back to Big Fat Five, a podcast financially supported by Big Fat Snare Drum. My name is Ben Hilsinger, and this week's guest is Brian Dunn. Brian is the current drummer for Hall & Oates, as well as the house drummer for Live from Daryl's House. Everything Brian plays sounds like a pre-produced groove, and it's no wonder he's held the throne behind so many incredible musicians, including, but certainly not limited to, and I mean certainly not limited to, Joe Walsh, Ben Folds, Alan Stone, Average White Band, CeeLo Green, Sting, Michael Brecker, Chaka Khan, Hezekiah Walker. It's all over the place, and it's one of the most impressive lists I've ever seen. His pocket is insane, and all the information today is going to be coming from someone who knows about studio drumming. He really knows. So I hope you enjoy the five records that helped shape Brian Dunn into the drummer he is today. Cheers. Live drums always sound like a produced perfectly. It's insane watching you play. I'm such a fan. But how do you actively seek out ways to stay inspired for yourself as the voice of Brian?
I don't know. Like you said, I kind of came up being a chameleon. Like my brothers and I would watch the Letterman show and we would always say to ourselves, like, man, that's the ultimate gig to be able to play music with the actual artists who did it, right? Which doesn't leave a lot of room to be who you are, right? But for me, I always assume that whatever I'm listening to and working on is going to sort of rub off on that other stuff. Like we played with the guy, with the singer from Hootie and the Blowfish, Darius Rucker, and we played through one of his tunes. It was like a country tune. He looked over at the rhythm section. He was like, damn, that's like, sounds like an R&B tune now. So it's a moment like that that actually feels good. Like I always try to honor the song first. But the biggest thing that's going to come through, usually, same thing with the guy from Styx, Tommy Shaw, same thing. He was like, this stuff sounds a little R&B-ish, which, so I guess that's, my heart lies in stuff that feels good. I mean, any genre of music should feel good, so that's not an R&B thing. But things that sit that way is kind of what's become, I guess, my wheelhouse. No matter how much, you know, 90s fusoid stuff that's in my bones, the R&B kind of influence is probably the strongest there. So I guess that's what I would identify with. So.
Sure. Well, your pocket feels fucking amazing, man. My God. I almost want to go to number two, just talking about pocket, but let's go to number one. So the album is What We Do. The artist is John Scofield. The release year is 1993. Everyone listen to the whole damn thing, but the drummer is Bill Stewart. So talk a little bit about this record specifically and all that jazz, and then we'll listen to a track from What We Do.
Okay. The thing about Bill for me is my brother and I listened to that record. As soon as we listened to it for the first time, we were like struck, like, whoa, we didn't know who he was. And immediately, just my opinion, when I heard him play for the first time, I was like, okay, this is like somebody who's sort of steeped in tradition, straight ahead wise. And because there's a lot of people like that, I feel like when I listen to them play, but he had all that, plus he sounded super modern to me at that time. Like when that record came out, that was uber modern, but still old. So that was the thing that got both my brother and I, we were like, who is this guy? And then the other thing was the sound of the drums and the feel. Everything is so clean, but groovy. Everything is grooving so hard. And when he trades fours, you know, the go playing over the bar line, like all that stuff was already in me, you know what I'm saying? So I gravitated towards that. But it was that, but it almost had a swanky New Orleans-y kind of thing with it. It wasn't just brainy. It just felt so, it was so easy to hear, even though it was super sophisticated, mm-hmm. which is to me the ultimate thing. If something can be really sophisticated, but like, who cares? How does it feel, you know, at the end of the day? And that's how his stuff always felt to me. So, yeah.
For people that might not know a lot about Bill Stewart, who else is he associated with?
Well, I mean, he's an artist in his own right. I mean, he has a trio with Peter Bernstein and Larry Goldings. He used to play with Maceo Parker. So for those who don't know about his sort of, you know, backbeat stuff, he can do that too. He's a force, man. When I heard, I tell you what, I went from listening to, you know, being a New Yorker, I was listening to for straight ahead stuff. I was, my brothers introduced me to Kenny Washington, and I was listening a lot to Jeff Tane Watts with those 90s Branford records, which was killing me. And, but when I started to listen to Bill and Brian Blade, that stuff hit home with me more. 100% not better. Just, it just hit me in a way that I was like, whoa, that's what, if I'm going to play that kind of music, I like that sound. And it almost made me stop doing it because it was so good. And I don't want, like, to play, if I'm going to play something, I want it to be super high level. And if you're not getting it, you know, like, I try, you have to be willing to just put it all into something like that. As much as I love that kind of music, I didn't love it enough to only do it. You know what I'm saying? But if I could, it would be like Brian and Bill and Greg Hutchinson. Man, yes. Just crazy good. Like, I knew who Greg Hutchinson was in the 90s, right? But up until the last few years, I've rediscovered him. And it's impossible to play the drums better than him.
Wow.
I really think that. I think he is absolutely insane. But, you know, well, back to Bill. I mean, so that record for me, that was the introduction of Bill to me, and his thing, he's so groovy and musical, just feels conversational when he plays. It's not like, it's less of check me out and more of he's just partaking in a conversation and just does it with such, man, it's just, it just feels musical to me, for lack of a better word.
Let's do Camp Out, the track two. So speaking of Pocket before, let's go to this one. The album, number two, album's Up Front. The artist is David Sanborn. Release here is 92. Speaking of the Letterman drummer as well, Steve Jordan. Yeah, listen to the whole damn record, but take it away and then we'll listen to some Up Front.
Man, he's the perfect example of someone who, again, like, he has tradition in his playing. Like, you hear history, but super modern, just the same. I mean, he may not play some of the type of vocabulary that some young guys do now, but it doesn't matter. And he doesn't sound dated. Like some guys that we are all fans of from 1985, they may not somehow, sometimes it loses its luster because of how fast this instrument's still moving. But a guy like him, no matter what gig he's on, he gets inside whatever the flavor of what he's playing so deeply that it's cool. So it doesn't matter. It's just, he just gets in there. It's never just a beat. Here's the part. It's not that, you know, for people that if they want to hear more stuff, it's so much deeper than that, you know, and he can play so many kinds of music too. I just chose this one because I'm a big Marcus fan. I'm a big Hiram Bullock fan. Again, it's like being a New Yorker, going to see Hiram a million times. Another guy in that same realm is Charlie Drayton. Like, you know, and they, you know, Charlie and Steve play with the expensive winos and they switch back and forth between bass and drums. And like, you know, it just never gets old. It's just vibe all day. And don't let the lack of fills fool you. These are bad dudes.
All right. Here's Snakes. We'll be right back. Bork's Drum Closet, Nashville's full-line drum store. Celebrating its 40th year in business, Bork's is independently owned and operated in the heart of Music City. Specializing in drums and percussion, Bork's offers great discounts on all major brands and will beat any retailer's advertised price. From new and used equipment, vintage drums, and marching and orchestral instruments, Bork's has something for every drummer. They offer professional rental, repair, and restoration services, as well as drum lessons. Stop by their storefront at 308 Chestnut Street, Nashville, Tennessee, zip code 37210. Or go online at forksdrumcloset.com. All the information I just said is at forksdrumcloset.com. All right, so number three. The album is Plantation Lullabies. You already talked about this record a little bit. So Michelle and Deggiocello. The release here is 93. The drums are programmed by David Gamson. So take it away, and then we'll listen to some Michelle.
Yeah, man. This record for me is, I mean, her in general, she's such an amazing musician, artist. I mentioned before I discovered this record. I think I'm the one who showed it to my brother. I heard this record first in a bar, in a jazz club in Montreal. It was a new record, I think. So, you know, I don't know when the record came out. Yeah, I remember hearing it, and I remember hearing this bass like, whoa, what is that? And my friend who was with me said, oh, that's Michelle Deggiocello. And I was like, who? I had no idea who that was. And yeah, but I immediately went out and got that CD, man. That thing is just a masterpiece as far as I'm concerned, because it's patient, it's funky. Yeah, it's just put together in such a great way to me. If you judge a record by how much you listen to it, then this is one of the great records for me, in my opinion. This is the record that I find myself going back to, listening to, no matter what I'm into, no matter what phase I was going through. Can always put that record on and be like, ugh. So, yeah.
What's unique from your perspective about her as a bass player that stands out so much to you?
Obviously, she's evolved as an artist, so her stuff now is very different. But I'm a fan of bass players that can play with their thumb. But I'm also a huge Anthony Jackson fan. I like fingers and I like punch. Some R&B bass recordings are like, they're high fives. So there's lots of highs, lots of lows, and not a lot in the middle. But they sound awesome, and they're very pretty sounding and very fat and deep. But like on some of the stuff on her record, she's playing like that finger stuff. Forgive me, I'm not a bass player, but you know, the kind of sound like you get from like guys playing flat wound strings on a P bass. It's a totally different experience than,
I know what you're saying,
a jazz bass and playing with your thumb. And she does both. Her time and her feel is so killing. So like for me, that always catches my ear. When I hear anybody that's got that bite to their playing, it's like when they hit a string, it's like every note is like an explosion. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, so when I heard that, I was like, okay, I need to check this out. Who is this person?
Do you know what song you want to play off the top of your head, or there's the Titchler track?
If you say names of tunes, these I'll know by name.
Okay, so there's track one, Plantation Lullabies, I'm Digging You. Some of these are longer.
Good.
So
Digging You, like a soul record. Perfect.
Okay.
And it's right along with what I was just talking about too, with that bite in the fingers, man. Oh.
Hell yeah. All right. So here's I'm Digging You, like a soul record.
Sit back, relax. Dig it like an old soul record. Yes, I'm digging you. I dig it like an old soul record, baby. Just sit back, relax, and listen to the 8-track. I dig it like an old soul record. Remember back in the day when everyone was black and conscious, down for the struggle. Love brought us all together. Sit back and talk, cultivating a positive vibe. Blue lights in the basement. Freedom was at hand and you could just taste it. It was so cool.
Digging on me, digging on you. Everything was cool. Yeah, yeah.
My brothers were saying,
ain't no one another one.
Relax and listen to the 8-track. I dig it like an old soul record. Now brothers facing, run up on the beat down, cast that.
All right, so number four, the album is The Best of Earth, Wind, and Fire. Their whole catalog is insane. Release year is 1978, but a bunch of these songs obviously came out before that. The drummers, Maurice White, Fred White, Ralph Johnson. Yeah, take it away, and then we'll listen to some Earth, Wind, and Fire.
It's hard to commit to say anything's your favorite, but man, they have everything as far as I'm concerned. It's funky. They write amazing popular songs. If you're a muso, there's plenty of content there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's harmony, horns, everything about what they did and do is just, it's the end for me, man. That's mm-hmm. like, it's insane. So yeah, I'm a huge fan. I remember getting my first record player. It was made out of plastic and it had a little speaker built into it. And I remember my sisters were Earth, Wind, and Fire fans, and they're not musicians. I would just drop the needle on the song Fantasy. And just to hear that piano and that, and I would play there's a bongo fill. The tune, like the intro of the tune is like, there's like this little bongo fill, man. I used to pick up the needle and drop it back down again, listen to it 50,000 times.
Oh,
so
days.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm just a fan. I'm a fanboy. So my early memories are listening to that stuff even before I was playing it on drums.
Here's Fantasy, and let's listen to that bongo fill. That's studio drumming 101.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten a chance to see them live?
Oh, yeah. And I got to hang out with Maurice White.
Oh, nice. How'd
like
that go?
A lot. It was amazing. I was the drummer with the Average White Band at the time. A Broadway musical came to New York City called Hot Feet. It was based on the music of Earth, Wind, and Fire. So
oh, cool.
I had never done a Broadway show, nor had I even subbed on one. And usually the guys who get those gigs, the contractors call their people, right? Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to be in that world already. And Maurice White was like, if my music is getting represented, I'm going to take part in who plays this music. So he came to New York and there was auditions. I was playing with a band of great players, man. And guitar player actually used to play with Earth, Wind, and Fire at one point. And the bass player is this guy, Artie Reynolds, a monster bass player. And like, he's gotten me so many gigs over the years and learned a lot from that guy. And he and me and him and Keith Robinson, was a guitar player, we auditioned for Maurice. It was like, whoa, when the dude just walks in a room, mm-hmm. it's insane. I swear to God, if you don't know who he is and he walks in a room, you still would say, what's up with that guy? Like, there's something about this guy. That, or the aura is that strong. It's crazy. So yeah, he came in and we played. We played some Earth, Wind, and Fire, and they chose all three. He chose all three of us.
Wow.
So we got the gig, which is really rare. It's actually one of the reasons I kind of stopped doing AWB, because when you do a Broadway show, you're on like a 6-month lockdown. You got like, or at least a 3-month lockdown. You can't do anything else, you know. And there was only so much I could miss I was kind of getting my working my way out of AWB anyway, because I was doing work in town, more work in town. And I started playing with Patty Austin. And so I had some other stuff going, and I was just trying to, I was making a move anyway. And I was like, man, I'm going to audition. I just want to be in a room with Maurice White. And he wound up choosing us. And then when we took the gig, he came and he would sit in a room while we rehearsed for like hours a day, every day, with Maurice White sitting right next to you and playing his shit, which is insane. Because he's the drummer on the lion's share of that stuff.
Yeah. How do you mentally prepare for that kind of pressure?
It was crazy. And he was super cool, though. He was super supportive. And yeah, man, it was awesome. He was an awesome guy to be around.
How long were you on that Broadway show?
It lasted from the time we started. The whole thing lasted a little less than 6 months. So it was short-lived.
Do you like playing Broadway?
I mean, when it's your chair, it's great. Yeah. I mean, you know, I did Broadway in a way that, like, almost anything else would be sort of downhill. Yeah. I mean, short of doing a musical based on the music of Donny Hathaway or Stevie Wonder or Prince, maybe everything else would be downhill, right? So, sure. Like, I got to do a show based on that music with musicians who know how to play that music too, which is a huge part of it. Yeah, when it's your chair, you get to do your thing. When you sub, you have to do what the person that's there already. You got to do it the way they do it. Even if you come in and you're an equal player, or even if you're a better player, it doesn't mean a thing. You have to do it the way they do it. And with drums, unlike, you know, a brass instrument or woodwind, you got to play the parts. And I'm sure people can make stuff feel certain ways, the way they read lines or whatever. But drums, there's so much improv going on. It's not like you play exactly a beat, right? There's a lot of little things going on constantly. And when you learn a book that another drum set player is playing, especially with this kind of music, it's like, it's daunting. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
All right. So number five, the album is Savoy, Stomping at the Savoy?
Yeah.
Savoy. Okay. I don't know if it's Savoy or Savoy, but there you go. Album Stomping at the Savoy. The artist is Rufus and Chaka Khan. Released years 1983. And J.R. Robinson. Take it away. And then we'll listen to some Rufus and Chaka.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, this is my brother, man. This is my brother, knowing who Chaka was and bringing that record home. That live stuff just speaks to me. The way that stuff is played and those songs, her singing and, you know, the whole thing, it's crazy, man. Super funky. And playing in the club scene, at least when I was doing it, and I still do it, but, you know, even in the 90s, if you were playing Tell Me Something Good, you were probably going to be playing it without realizing it. 80% of the people on that stage most likely learned it from that live version. You know what I'm saying? So if you were lucky enough to already have had that in your repertoire, it works as an ally. You know, some people can confuse if someone's good versus they just don't know the song. It's okay if someone doesn't know a song, but like somehow that gets like, you know, wow. It's amazing to me sometimes. So yeah, that okay. That helps when you know.
Which song would you want to play?
I would say Tell Me Something Good. And I think when I first started playing this tune, you're going to hear, you know, when you listen to from records from the 70s, you can hear the time moves, mm-hmm. right? When I used to play to this, the band starts out without her. They just play the dum, 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 right, and JR's playing like a snare drum roll or whatever, and like a march kind of thing. And when Chaka brings the vocal in, everything slows down a bit. And when I used to play to this when I was young, I would, every time I play to it, I would always be rushing at that point. And I would say to myself, "Ah, I gotta stop rushing." and then,
damn it, Brian.
and then you realize years later, like, it was a live concert. Like, now I really hope they slow down, and I'm going out on a limb here. It could be, you know, sometimes when a singer brings a tune in, when the singer's about to come in, she could have been like, this is too fast. And she could have just been turning around with her hand like, let's bring it back a little bit.
Sure.
Which is, that's how music goes. That's 100% fine and awesome. You know what I mean? So, oh boy, I should have listened to this before I said it. We'll be right back.
it definitely slows down. Definitely slows down.
Now they're sitting in it here.
Yeah.
Killing. And the original version is also killing. The Rufus, when Rufus recorded it. Yeah, man, JR just slamming. But like I brought up the timing thing because, you know, you're young and when you play along with records, you just assume it's perfect. I mean, that's what people do now because actually everything is perfect. Mm. But back then, you know, it didn't even cross my mind. It couldn't have slowed down, right?
Yeah.
That's how I just impossible, right? So
adults
I must be
don't
rushing.
Do that. Yeah.
Little did I know that I was going to grow up and realize that every time I have to play quietly, I drag.
Hey, man, I'm right there with you. And the opposite end of that coin is also extremely true for me as well.
Me too. Yeah.
So that's your Big Fat Five. You did mention a bunch of honorable mentions, like you said at the beginning. You got your Vinnies, your Daves, Weckles, by the way, and Cal Yuta, if people don't know. Zach Danziger.
Huge Zach Greg. Fan, man.
Is there something of Zach actually hasn't been really talked about enough on this podcast. Is there something you want to, just as an honorable mention for people that are like, who is this Danziger guy that I've always heard?
Oh, my God. I mean, any of the Wayne Krantz stuff. Okay. There's a Lainey Stern record called Closer to the Light. And it's half the record is Dennis and half the record is Zach. And Zach is probably, he's very young on that record, maybe 20 years old or something.
So cool. I really dig. That's my style of solo. I love that. All those choices were really kind of tickling my fancy there. Wow. Well, you've actually played with, I don't want to say a friend of mine, not in a bad way, just because I haven't talked to him in years, but I went to school with Alan Stone. We grew up in...
Really?
Yeah, we grew up in a town of less than 1,000 people in Chihuahua, Washington, and Alan was in my graduating class, and he would always write songs about the teachers and play them for assemblies, and so to see his trajectory and see how amazing he's been, then to watch his performances with you guys.
Oh, man, we love that guy. And I'll tell you something right now, man, this is no joke. When I found out he was going to be on the show, we didn't know who he was. And I had just seen that video of him live in his living room.
Yep.
That kind of first video that kind of went viral. Yeah. And I was like, are you effing kidding me? And I went and I showed everybody in the band. I said, this dude's coming. You better get yourself ready, man. This guy is killing.
Yeah, I believe the song
is
Unaware.
And he wanted to be such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's also the funniest guy. Alan's great. Alan's great.
He's so cool. And he also hooked me up. I never thanked him for it. He kind of hit me to who this other singer-songwriter is named Tingsek. I don't know if you know this guy. Yo, absolutely killing. He's really a guitar player and a singer. But he's like one of these guys that he can just do a whole record by himself. Man, but you want to talk funky. This dude's from Sweden. Funky. Sophisticated. Like I don't know, man. This dude, he's one of my favorite artists.
Hell yeah.
And Alan's the one that, Alan's like, hey, everybody, you need to check this guy out, Tingsek.
Big Fat Five. Sorry, I kind of cut it off in a weird place there, but we just started talking about so many different random things. So I thought I'd end it with Alan Stone. Anyways, today's big fat favorite is from Ira Elliott of Not a Surf. One of his choices was the album Get the Knack. The release year is 1979. The artist is The Knack. Song choice is Your Number or Your Name. And the drummer is Bruce Gary. So here's what Ira had to say. I was the perfect demographic for this band in 1979. 16 years old, and along with being into punk and new wave, my Beatles fixation raged on unabated. The nerve of these guys not only to have their first album cover resemble the cover of Meet the Beatles, but then the back cover was shot so not only you could see the band posed on stage in white shirts, black skinny ties, and pointy shoes, but you could also see their guitar and mic cables on the ground and TV cameras pointed at them like a scene from A Hard Day's Night. I loved it. Sharona, with that propulsive beat lifted from Smokey Robinson's Going to a Go-Go, sold the record, but to me, the standout drum track on the album, loaded with incredible drum performances, is Your Number or Your Name. Bruce Gary's playing is full of detail and personality, combining fiery energy and fierce precision recorded beautifully to capture the unmistakable quality of a one-time live band performance. Small roughs in the snare in the verses, lightning-fast 16th note fills across a four-tom kit, breathtaking stops, and subtle dynamics make it a thrill ride where the drums are concerned. There's a video of the band playing this song in 1979 live at Carnegie Hall, another Beatles move, which I highly recommend watching. You rarely see a drummer firing on all cylinders like this. All right, here is Your Number or Your Name by The Knack.
Saw your face from a window. Now I can't let it go. But I don't know your number or your name. If I only could phone you, I could say what I want to. When I'm trying to catch your eye, you're stepping out of her view. It's hard to do. I can't get through without your number or your name. Caught a glimpse in the subway, but you weren't going my way. You were lost in the rumble of a train, in the rush of the city. We're standing so calmly. Wish that I only had the nerve to say hello to you. It's hard to do. It's such a shame. I can't get through without your number or your name. I'll be waiting till the end of time.
That's the show. If you're listening on a platform that allows ratings and reviews, do that. It helps more people find the show, so it'll get bigger and better, and hopefully I'll have a chance to sell out one day. But you'll be an OG listener that can brag to all your friends. Anyways, why don't you go and check us out at BigFatSnareDrum.com and follow us on all the socials. Just search for Big Fat Snare Drum and you will find us. The show is edited in part using Isotope RX Audio Editor. It's amazing, so go check that out at Isotope.com. And thanks again to Gunnar Olsen for the theme music. Bye.